Hello, my darklings, and welcome back to your home for the paranormal right here in the Twin Cities and all around the world. I am so thankful that many of you are tuning in from all around the world to listen to this program. Thank you so much, and thank you for sending in your questions. I've waited till I had enough to put together an entire episode of just answering your questions. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. And in the last segment, we talked pretty deep about a few different thoughts and concepts and beliefs and my beginnings in this field and some of my experiences on TV. The question that I had just before the break from Brianna was, how does investigating for TV differ from private cases? Is it harder to stay focused with cameras rolling? And as I mentioned, I thought it would be, it really wasn't. I got adjusted to it very quickly. It was just like having an extra investigator, because most times when you're on an investigation, there's somebody running a camera following you around anyway. So it really was pretty easy. But the difference is I take things, you know, differently when it comes to people that they're not looking for fame and fortune. They're not even necessarily looking for attention when it comes to the things that they're dealing with. Sometimes I'm their last bit of hope. And I don't mean that to sound like I'm some hero and, you know, pat me on the back, but they're so stressed out. They're so freaked out by what's going on under their own roof. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to talk to, who to trust, or, you know, for fear that they're going to be mocked and made fun of. So I take it very seriously when people ask for my help. And I received a call from a woman, and she told me, Dave, I really need your help. I have a demon in my house. I said, oh, okay, well, what happened? And she said, so I was having some stuff happen around here, and I had a plate. I've got my collection of plates on the wall. And for you kids that don't know that, at one point, we used to collect plates. People would hang fancy plates on their wall. And she had this beautiful, ornate plate in the middle that was her great-grandmother's. And she said that it kind of flung itself off the wall and shattered on the floor. And it freaked her out, so she called in a paranormal team. She said they lasted about 15 minutes. And they captured this demonic growl coming from inside her closet. And I said, wow, really? Did they record it? She said, yeah, they went in, investigated for 15 minutes and pulled everything up and said, this is above our pay grade. This is demonic. You should consider getting rid of this house or getting out of here. Call in a priest. We can't handle this. And she goes, and I've tried to talk to the clergy in my area. They won't come. I can't get any help, Dave. I think I have a demon. So I said, well, you can stop right there. And for those of you listening, did you hear the one word that gave it away to me? I think I have a demon. Now, if you have a demon, you're going to know you have a demon, and especially if it's building up and doing horrific things. So I told her, well, I can rest. You can rest assured you don't have a demon. She goes, well, how do you know? I said, well, you think you have a demon? I mean, there would be more profound things than a broken plate. And she said, well, we got this growl, and she played it for me. And I did my best not to laugh out loud. I didn't do that well. I laughed out loud, but it was so obvious that they recorded somebody's stomach grumble, because it wasn't kind of a, it wasn't anything deep and foreboding like that. It was literally this kind of sound like a stomach. And I kind of laughed and I said, I think that was one of the investigators' stomachs. She goes, well, that's what I thought. But I asked and they said no. And they wouldn't even stay here. That's how freaked out they were. And I kind of rolled my eyes and knew I had my work cut out for me. But we talked for a while and I said, well, walk me through this. Why do you believe it's a demon? She said it broke my great grandmother's plate. She was very emotional about it. And I said, okay. And I said, when it broke, did it make like a 666 pattern? No. I said, did it make like a pentagram pattern on the floor? She said, no, are you just mocking me? I said, no, I want to get to the bottom of this. I said, did the shards jump up in the air and start to tremble and fly across the room trying to impale you? And she said, see, you are mocking me. I said, no, I'm not, but I'm asking important questions. Did it do that? And she said, no. And I said, so why do you think it was a demon? Because, Dave, it was my great-grandmother's plate. And I said, well, do me a favor, if you will. Just walk down this road with me for a second. Close your eyes and just imagine it's morning roll call in hell. And the devil is up on his pulpit and he's calling forth his minions to go forth and do his bidding. And he says, you over there, I want you to go start a war in the Middle East. And you over there, I want you to start gas wars. And you over there, I want you to make people question their government. You, Larry, I want you to go break great grandma's plate. And she kind of laughed, which was what I was hoping would happen. And I said, do you realize how ridiculous that sounds? Like, is Larry Satan's kind of slow nephew, and that's the only job he trusts him with, is going out and breaking a plate? And I said, why would a demon come break just your great grandmother's plate? And she didn't have an answer for me. I said, just out of curiosity, where did your great grandmother get it? She goes, oh, she got it from her mother-in-law on their wedding day. I said, oh, what was their relationship like? Oh, she hated her mother-in-law. They were sworn enemies. And I started laughing. I go, so could it be that the ghost of great grandma came to visit you one day and saw that stupid plate hanging there and knocked it off and broke it? And she burst into laughter and she said, knowing my great grandmother, that's exactly what she would have done. And I said, well, you have my phone number. You have a way to contact me. If you have any more problems, call me immediately. Don't call another investigative team. I'll get you in touch with a team that I trust and believe, and I'll get clergy in there for you. And I didn't hear from her for over 10 years. When I finally bumped into her and she introduced herself to me and told me about it again, I asked her what happened. She said, you were right, Dave. Nothing happened. Nothing ever happened again in that house. I think it was just my great grandmother stopping by, getting rid of that stupid plate. So to me, that kind of shows the difference. I didn't even need to go out there. I was able to talk the person through things logically and give them another way to look at things and empower them to not be afraid. So I try to do that on regular investigations when I talk to people, whether it's on TV or in the real world. I say the real world, meaning I don't have camera crew following me around and everybody else. But my first goal is to help the ghosts, because I believe if we can help the ghosts, that's going to help the living. Because once we can kind of get the ghost at ease, it seems to placate and make things settle way down. So that's what I do. And that's how I think things are a little different. All right. Justin in Las Vegas says, you've appeared with Zach and the Ghost Adventures crew. What's one wild story from those shoots viewers never saw? It's kind of similar to the question we answered before. My other favorite episode working with the Ghost Adventures crew was the episode of the Demon House in Seattle. Again, this was a case that came to my attention because a friend of mine was working with a news crew in Seattle and they had filmed something bizarre and had footage and they wanted a paranormal researcher, an investigator to look at it. So my friend recommended me and they reached out to me because of my notoriety with my radio show and being a guest on some TV shows. So I looked at the footage. I said, it's interesting. I said, the thing I think is strange is that it never happens on camera. It's always off camera that something gets thrown. And then he looks and shows the camera and you see the shattered glass. So to me, that's a little sketch. But when we did the investigation of that house, really hoping that there was something that we could help this family understand, we just came to see the story unravel. And in one of the rooms painted on the walls was a 666 and an upside down cross and a pentagram. But I did note that it looked like it had been sponge painted up there. But he claimed there is no black paint anywhere in the house. And later that night, when I was sitting in the garage with Bill Chappell, one of the affiliate team members, he said, didn't they say there's no black paint in the house? And I said, yeah, why? And he looked over on the shelf and pointed, and sitting on the shelf was a can of black paint that had been opened and had black paint splashed on it. So they didn't end up showing that on the episode. And the episode just kind of, I loved it because we didn't find anything. And people, oh yeah, like you're always going to have something happen. In that episode, nothing happened. And they aired the entire episode showing the entire story just that way. Hold tight. We'll be back more with your questions right after this. Okay, let's jump back into the mailbag of the macabre and see what other questions we have from listeners around the world. Your new show. This comes from Marta from Austin, Texas. Thank you, Marta, for listening. Your new show, Paranormal Mysteries, on Stream Beacon TV feels different. What makes this one special to you? Well, thank you very much for watching it. We have two episodes that are up now. We filmed six episodes for this season. StreamBeaconTV.com. You can go find more information. You can stream it on just about every streaming device out there, and you can stream it on your phone and cast it to your TV. It's $5 a month for the streaming service, but it is your new home for paranormal programming, horror, and true crime. You guys are going to love it. We have two episodes up of the six. Our first two episodes we filmed at Ashmore Estates and the R Theater in Illinois. And it was crazy. We got some great stuff going, but I was drawn back to this because I get to work with Cindy Kaza, the medium, again, and Shane Pittman, the paranormal tech. They're two of my closest friends. They're like brother and sister to me, and I love them very much. So to get a chance to do the Holzer Files together, and then Cindy and I doing Ghost to Devil's Perch together, and now for all three of us to be reunited to get to work on this new program, it's very exciting. And for once, we're not following somebody else's footsteps. We're not following Dr. Hans Holzer's cases like we did in the Holzer Files. And we're not going to one city drenched in blood and paranormal mystery like Butte, Montana. This time we're opening our own files. We're going out and investigating places and things that fascinate us. As a matter of fact, the next episode, episode 3, I believe, takes us to the Pauley Jail in Alabama, which was the site of Shane Pittman's first professional paranormal encounter, I guess you'd say. He'd had them growing up, but this was his first full-on investigation and having something paranormal happen. And I will tell you, we capture one of the craziest pieces of evidence I've ever seen, hands down. I don't want to give it away. I want you to watch the episode. It's amazing. It's coming up this Friday. So make sure that you go subscribe and watch Paranormal Mysteries. The only place you can watch it is Stream Beacon TV. And I know you're tired of all the different streaming companies, but most of them no longer carry paranormal programming. And if you're going to want to watch paranormal programming, Stream Beacon TV is your new home for that. So go check it out. But a lot of cool stuff, getting a chance just to open these cases together, reinvestigate these stories in a new way and in a new light. And we're not holding ourselves, you know, we're not beholden to just ghosts. There are some really interesting cases that we get to cover, especially in the first two episodes. We believe that what we were dealing with at both locations might be this kind of amalgam of paranormal entities, from haunted objects that have been brought to these locations to the conjuring and calling forth of spirits. We just believe there's a lot to this, and that these spirits, I think they have fun with us too. And sometimes they manipulate us and they'll be what we want them to be. They'll be more terrifying for people that want to be frightened. They'll look like children, the people that want to have that experience and more. It's really, I think, a powerful first two episodes to come out with, and I hope you'll enjoy it. But to me, what makes it special is this is our chance to go in and see different stories in different light, and we're going to be looking into possible UFO stuff and cult-like activities, strange ghosts, myths, monsters. It's a lot of fun. So again, go check out Paranormal Mysteries. Thank you very much for your question and for checking it out, Marta from Austin, Texas. Dave, let's have a little fun here. Movies, music, and mayhem is the section I call this, because we got a lot of cool little questions, kind of the pop culture fun section. Okay, Darklings, these are the emails I got. Robin from Boston says, what's your all-time favorite scary movie and what about it still creeps you out? I used to have this as my patented answer, because being in October, this is a powerful month for many of us, right? I remember when I was about 10 or 11 years old. So I was, what, seventh, eighth grade. I remember it was a weekend, like a Friday night, Halloween, I believe. And my dad woke me up at midnight because they were doing a midnight screening on TV on channel 32, WFLD TV. They were going to do a midnight screening of Night of the Living Dead. And I had never heard of this movie before. And my dad said this was the only movie that ever scared him. It's like, wow. My dad woke me up and we watched it together. And it was a black and white movie, but it absolutely terrified me. The concept that the enemy could be anyone at any time, your loved ones, your friends, your family, your neighbors, that these beasts, these hungering demonic creatures couldn't be sated, that terrified the living hell out of me. I had nightmares. 4 years. I'm not going to lie. I still occasionally have zombie nightmares, but I've tried to face that fear by watching Walking Dead and every other movie. That was my patent answer. But I would tell you the one really that freaks me out even more in the zombie genre is Return of the Living Dead, which was a 1980s comedy horror movie. And they took kind of a different spin on it, but it's still really frightening in some points, some really terrifying things. And the fact that you know, the old bullet to the head does not put these zombies down was insanely unsettling to me. So I would say those two for that reason. The other one, man, I got to give it to The Conjuring. The very first Conjuring movie, that was what I think is the perfect haunted house movie. Now, I know there's a lot of detractors because it doesn't actually follow the timeline and the story of the Perrin real, the Perrin family and their real haunting. And there were a lot of different elements to the story. Like, you know, in the Conjuring movie, Ed becomes the best friend of the father and kind of a second father to the kids as they're there all sharing this house. And the fact is, there was a lot of tension. And Roger Perrin, the father, at one point when they were doing the seance and he watched his wife begin to levitate, I believe it was, and he came in and demanded that they stop this. Ed tried to stop him and he said, no, you and your wife get out of my house. And Ed tried to stop him again. And Roger punched him and knocked him down and threw them out of his house. And that was the last time Ed and Lorraine were at his house. So the movie certainly takes a lot of liberties, but I think it is one of the best ghost movies because they do a great job at being psychological and really getting into your head. So that would be one of my all-time favorite ghost movies as well. Jack in Seattle says, which movie got the paranormal completely wrong? The one that made you yell at the screen. I don't know, because everybody's got different versions of what's going on. You know, going back into the Conjuring universe, the first Annabelle movie I didn't like. I liked the second and the third one, I think, but the first one I didn't care for. I don't know. Who am I to say? You know, I mean, a lot of those movies are based on real cases and real stories. I guess the Conjuring 2, I feel like I'm beating up this movie series and I don't mean to. The Enfield Poltergeist case, I really felt that they manipulated that story a lot, changed things around a lot, and didn't give you the well-rounded story, which is a shame because I believe in the case of the first Conjuring movie and the Enfield Poltergeist, the original stories were scary and weird enough that they didn't have to be Hollywoodized. But only because I knew the Enfield story so well did it irritate me and bother me with the way they handled it. So I would say that, but I'm still a fan of the movie series. I think they did a great series of scary movies, and it would have been better if it wasn't based on a real story, if that makes sense. I hope it makes sense. I will tell you, the other movie that freaked me out that they said was based on a real case was The Fourth Kind. And if you haven't seen this, it's a powerful UFO movie. And they indoctrinate real audio, 911 calls, and video. And you go see this thing. And this is following in the vein of Blair Witch. Like they're supposedly telling a real story. If you don't remember when the Blair Witch Project came out, they really sold it as this really happened. This is the found footage. They did that with The Fourth Kind. And then like 2 weeks later admitted that it was all a hoax and it was just a movie. So that kind of bummed me out. Hang tight. We've got more to discuss right after this. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. This is the Paranormal 360. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Hey, I've got something exciting coming up on the 18th of October, a documentary that I filmed called The Outer Edge, which is a paranormal documentary. And most of it was filmed right here in the great state of Minnesota. We incorporate the Palmer House Hotel. We talk about the Warren UFO incident that took place in Warren, Minnesota. We get to talk to some of the people that live here, breathe here, paranormal investigate here. Echo Bodine, the legendary psychic medium from the Twin Cities, is in it. Scott Walter from TV shows America Unearthed and so many other great programs, he's a part of it. And the documentary is airing at West End Cinemas on October 18th. I think it's at like 9:30 at night. I know we're down to about the last 10 tickets in the theater. If you're interested, you can email me, dave@paranormal60.com, and I'll send you a link. Otherwise, just go Google Twin Cities Film Fest, find it, and look for The Outer Edge, and you can pick up tickets there. Come on out and spend some time with me. It's a red carpet event. Then we get to go in and watch the movie together, and then there's, I think, a 30 or 45-minute Q&A afterwards. So I hope you guys will come out and check that out. I'm excited about that. Let's go back to some more of the fun pop culture questions we have here. This one comes from Dublin, Ireland. Fiona. Hi, Fiona. Thank you for listening. If you could recommend one film that captures the real feeling of a haunting, what would it be? Boy, that's tough. I don't know. I think they all, like I said, they all have elements that are very real. Even the movie Ghost, I think, is beautiful and eloquent in some ways and shows you that. Another one that I always recommend to people is it's called Ghost Town, and Ricky Gervais stars in it. It's about this kind of nebbish dentist who's not real personable, kind of a jerk, kind of a Scrooge-like character, until he has a near-death experience, which opens him up to start having experiences with ghosts. And from my understanding of talking to friends that have abilities like this and how it kind of came on for them suddenly, this really spoke to me. And I think that they may have gotten this right. And I just think the writing is beautiful. The acting, of course, it's comedic and fun, but it's deep in certain points and really kind of speaks to your heart and mind and goes into the profound nature of why are we haunted by ghosts? Maybe it isn't the ghost haunting us. Maybe it's us haunting the ghosts. Maybe it's our need and desire to hold on to them that keeps them here. I just thought that was really beautiful. So I hope that's a good answer for you. Thank you very much, Fiona. Matt down in Nashville, fellow music lover, he says, do you have a paranormal themed song you play before an investigation? No, I don't. You know what I really like to do is kind of calm my mind. I listen to the Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon album and I calm my mind before a lot of investigations with that. I will tell you one of my all time favorite paranormal songs. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you my top three. All right. I would say the third one, of course, being Monster Mash, because it was that fun, weird song that really kind of got me into that as a kid, right? Made it accessible. The second song I would say is Everything's the Devil Went Down to Georgia by Charlie Daniels. However, he has another one that's truly about ghosts, and it's called The Legend of Woolly Swamp. And if you haven't listened to it, holy cow, I love it. It's everything you could want in a creepy song. And if you haven't listened to it, go check it out. If you think you haven't heard it, you've probably heard it. But go listen to it. The Legend of Woolly Swamp. I love that song. My number one favorite paranormal song, I know this is going to be hard to believe, comes from Kermit the Frog. It's the Rainbow Connection. And I don't know if you've ever taken the time to actually listen to the words of the Rainbow Connection. I always just thought it was this fun little silly song and kind of talking about, you know, how in movies and everything, there's always the other side of the rainbow. Things will be better there. That's kind of the concept I got. But when you listen to it, it's a deep song and it talks about hearing voices that call your name when nobody is there and waking you up at night. And is that the same sound that called the young sailors? And it really is a profoundly beautiful paranormal song. And it's hidden in the strumming of a frog playing a banjo, but it's a great song. I encourage you, listen to it and look at the lyrics while you read it and listen to it. You'll never hear the song the same way again. Thank you very much for Matt in Nashville. Elena from Miami. Hello, Elena. Is there a song that instantly takes you back to a specific case or an experience? No. There's not a song I attribute to a case that I've worked on. No, there's not. That's a good question, but no. It's funny because I have so many, I'm so attached to music in different ways that you would think that there would be something musical about the experiences I've had. But no, I can't think of anyone specifically that jumps to mind. But great question. Thank you, Elena. I appreciate that. And I hope you're doing well in Miami. All right, let's get philosophical as we start to wrap up tonight's show. Got a couple questions we'll go out on. Caleb from London. Wow, London. Thank you for tuning in, Caleb. Do you believe all hauntings come from human spirits, or could we be dealing with something interdimensional? Good question. No, I mentioned that a little bit in the first hour. I do not believe that all hauntings are necessarily disincarnate spirits, corporeal beings that are just floating about. I think that is true to some extent, but I also believe that there are multidimensional things. Maybe the things we think we're hearing running around our house at night that are ghosts are really aliens. Because when you look at the kind of shapes, the dark, shrouded figures that are seen in the rooms, different things like that, and then you hear about some of the people that have had alien abductions, I wish they would talk more, because so many of the experiences kind of align in different ways, and it gives you kind of an interesting perspective to look at it. But yeah, I think multidimensional might be part of it. I have caught EVP. nuts, the electric voice phenomena recordings. I've caught my voice responding to the question from time to time when I've been standing there with a room full of people and everybody knows I didn't speak after I asked the questions. For those of you that don't know what an EVP is, that's when you turn on your recorder, audio recorder, and you ask a set of 5 to 10 questions. We call them short bursts. And then you go back and listen. So that way, if you catch an answer, you can go back in and try to push on that question and that lever a little more to see if you can keep communication with the spirits. And my brain just jumped track. I apologize. I can't remember where I was going with this. What is the question? Interdimensional. Yeah. So I've actually caught EVP of myself asking a question and hearing my voice like it's answering or asking another question. And that blew me away. That completely boggled my brain and the people around me. So I think there might be something to that. And, you know, when I was, here's a great example too. I was at Joliet State Prison and I've talked to some of the guards that worked there and they talked about how haunted it was when it was still a fully functioning prison. And one night we were investigating Joliet Prison and I had a group of people and there were about 12 of us and we were in one of the cells and it's late at night. This is supposed to be quiet time in there, right? Nobody's supposed to be making a noise. The only sound should be the sound of the security guys walking around, right? And I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting? And I turned on my recorder and I paused and then I yelled real loud, "Hello!" And it echoed. And then I played back the recording. And when I scream hello, you hear this voice go, "What the beep was that?" So I think we shocked a ghost or we shocked somebody in time. Maybe 30 years ago, some poor inmate's laying in his cell when suddenly outside his cell hears a booming voice say, "Hello!" I don't know, it's a little food for thought. We'll be back with more and a few more of your questions right after this. I've been having a great time tonight on the Paranormal 360, and I hope you have too. Thank you for sending in your questions. Feel free to send me questions, and maybe we'll do this again in the future, where you can reach out with your questions, anything that you'd like to know about the paranormal, working with the different shows, what it's been like on the shows, behind the scenes. I'm willing to answer any questions I can for you. And my own experiences. And hopefully you'll tune into Paranormal Mysteries on StreamBeacon TV. Go to streambeacontv.com and find out more. Episode 3 is coming up this coming Friday. So you're only a couple episodes behind. You can subscribe now, go back and watch the first 2 episodes and be ready for this brand new episode. And there will be a brand new episode every Friday with our season finale on Halloween night. And I hope you'll be listening and checking that out as well, my darklings. So thank you. Let's get back into a couple more questions here. I love that we're able to communicate this way and that so many of you from around the world tune into the show in podcast form or are listening right now in live stream. I appreciate it. Again, email me, dave@paranormal60.com. Rosa in Albuquerque. Hi, Rosa. Thank you for listening. You've investigated around the world. Is there one common thread that every haunted place shares? Yes. Yes. Ghosts. That's what they all share, Rosa. I'm joking, of course, to a degree, but are there any other things? It's hard to say because I hear people talk about ley lines and portals and this and that and the other, and I've yet to see a portal for myself. I've stuck my hand in every closet and in every bathroom cabinet and every place I could, hoping I would find that little rift in time that allowed spirits to traverse between here and there. I've used different tracking equipment and energetic readers, and I've not been able to find anything remotely close to something that I would consider to be a portal. So it's hard to say. People just make all these claims, and I will say this. There's usually bodies of water nearby or an underwater current that they know of. A lot of the places are high in limestone and quartz. And if you are to believe what science knows about the energetic properties of those kind of stones and the stone tape theory that it might memorize things and play it back like a recording, you got that. That to me is kind of fascinating. But where in the world isn't there some kind of underground water and crystal and quartz and limestone? I mean, that's kind of a lot of what our planet is made of. So I don't know. Mostly it's made up though of scared people and sometimes frightened spirits. So that's what really draws me to this field. because I have a lot of compassion and empathy for these beings. And I would hope that somebody would do the same for me if I got lost between worlds. Or I think, you know, this was somebody's child, somebody's grandparents, somebody's mother or father. And now that I've lost both of my parents, I stop to think that I would do anything and go to the ends of the earth to make sure that their souls move on and are happy. So, you know, I want to help those spirits that are out there and encourage people to always pray for those spirits to find peace and to find the light. And that's always been something that's been a big part of what I do when I investigate. All right. Ben in Melbourne, Australia writes in, what's one paranormal theory that deserves more attention from researchers? Oh, gosh. One, just one, huh? Man, there are so many cool theories out there. Sending echoes back into time. You know, right now, science is catching up with science fiction. And they are realizing that there are things that can stimulate particles at opposite ends of the universe simultaneously. That time is not what we think it is. One of the theories I've been talking about very openly for the last few years, and I would love science and somebody with a real science background and understanding to talk to me about this. And I encourage you, if you know somebody that would sit down and have this conversation on air, I'd love to talk. But I often wonder, what if we're not haunted by ghosts? What if it's not truly the disincarnate soul of our loved ones that inhabit a location? What if it's the house itself? The house itself that lives and thrives on the lifeblood that exists within it. It's here to shelter us, to take care of us, to provide shelter against all the weather and elements. And it's part of us. We take pride in it. We paint it. We sand it. We dust it. We polish it. You know, we take care of these things. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but look at the science in this. This is the truth. I just saw a documentary about this in the last 6 months, and that's why it's really sticking to me. Trees. When a bug lands on a tree and it's an invasive species, the tree immediately identifies what that threat is, and it releases a pheromone to the other trees in the vicinity, telling it this insect is here now. And those trees can then adapt. Believe it or not, they alter the way they taste so that when those bugs eat that tree or bite into it, they leave it immediately because it doesn't taste right. How crazy. They call this the World Wide Wood or the World Wood Web, one of those two, but it's a real thing. So the concept that trees are intelligent and can communicate and alter, tell me that's not alien in itself. Trees can alter the way they look, smell, and even taste immediately, chemically. That should tell you that everything around you is living. Well, what do we build our homes out of? We build our homes out of wood. We're surrounded by wood. Wood that is still here and may still carry an echo of the life that it had when it was planted in the ground. Science is also talking about the fact that they think that even inanimate objects might have a form of consciousness. So I really think it'd be interesting to continue to follow this trail of breadcrumbs, and maybe houses are haunted by our memories and they miss us when we're not here. And they play back these memories like us flipping through our phone and looking at pictures of our loved ones that are no longer with us. I know that might sound really out there and bizarre, and I think that's okay. Because the more out there and bizarre our thoughts are, the better the chances are that we'll continue to challenge ourselves to think outside the box, and that science isn't always going to have the answer, right? I want you to know that things that used to be called sorcery and magic and witchcraft are now called medicine and science, because it's only magic and witchcraft until we know what it does and how it works and what are the chemical compounds. Then it becomes science. Well, all of those things have always existed, and they always will. And the things that we think are lunacy right now, 10 years from now, we may find out they're very real. So you never know what's listening. You may never realize that your house needs you. Think about this. How many people, they die, the house sits vacant for a year and starts to fall in on itself. How did it make it 40 to 50 years with somebody living in it? And now that you've removed that lifeblood, why does it die? That's just something to think about, my friends, which is what I like to leave you here. I'll be back again with you next week. Thank you for tuning in and making me part of your week. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 360.